All right, Limits, it's been another wonderful day here at Studio B in Monroeville. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Beautiful day. High is 75 with cloudy skies. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
We're at the unofficial halfway point. What's been the most surprising development of this Steeler season to you?
Really, the way that injuries have affected the team in one way or another. Russell Wilson missing the first 6 weeks of the season and giving us that chance to see Justin Fields. Broderick Jones needing to step in at right tackle, and the progression, well, I guess lack of progression that he's made on the offensive line. Your first round pick, Troy Faltan, who day one starter, not available. And I guess, in let's just say unavailability, that's not the best way to put it, not having availability for Cam Sutton as well in the back end, with Beanie Bishop emerging as an undrafted rookie. Basically, injuries and inability to make the field has been the biggest surprise for me, and how other guys have stepped up or not stepped up.
Mine would be the sort of arc of the quarterback situation. If you would have told me before the season, yeah, Justin Fields will come in, they'll go 4-2, and then Tomlin will still make a switch, and it'll be Russell Wilson, and after a slow couple series, he'll be really, really good, and they'll move on from there. I think I would have been surprised. I would have been surprised. I didn't think Russell Wilson was going to miss that many games. And just to have the story kind of play out the way that it did, that's my biggest surprise. How about the biggest disappointment so far?
Broderick Jones. I mean, wish he was the left tackle, but Dan Moore has been playing as their best offensive tackle this year. He might be their best offensive lineman outside of Zach Frazier. So Broderick Jones definitely has not been excited about that. And the other disappointment is Omar Khan not getting a wide receiver. I thought they would have done something by now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that. And also losing to Dallas at home. That was ridiculous. It really was. Dallas has proven to not be a very good team, I don't think anyway, this year. And that's just, and they were missing Micah Parsons, for God's sakes. Lawrence, other people. That was a bad loss. That was the biggest disappointment so far. But the team overall, I feel like they're right about on schedule where I thought they would be, which is right around 6-2. I think they caught Atlanta at a good time. They caught Denver at a good time. I'm not taking away credit for those wins. I just think that's sometimes the way of it, not only in the NFL, but every sport. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes complete sense. I still think the Colts game, too, is right up there, neck and neck with the Cowboy game. I mean, Joe Flacco comes off the bench and beats you, somebody you're so familiar with, even though Tomlin said they had to adjust to him. That game still is a glaring omission, I think, for me.
Meanwhile, and we'll get to more of that tomorrow, sort of a mid-season report, a full report on the Steelers. This Penguins situation is just sort of mind-blowing, because in any other instance, if you had a team that was coming off two underachieving, disappointing seasons and got off to this kind of start where they're the worst team in their division and their conference so far, and the only team in the whole NHL that's worse than them is the San Jose Sharks, that's a bad place to be. And you've lost six in a row. The coach either would have been fired, or that's all anybody would be talking about, is how long for Mike Sullivan. I know The Athletic, I think, had a thing before the season, first coach fired, and I think Sully was up there, if not first on that list. But I just don't hear people talking about this, and I think in any other market, it would be topic number one with their team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the extension that he signed kicks in this season. Like, I just don't think Fenway Sports Group is going to eat 3 years of a contract extension for Mike Sullivan, who they seemingly love. Is it because he's a Boston guy? Is it because of the championships? Who knows? We don't hear from him very often.
Man, I mean, and this is hockey we're talking about. I just think anywhere else, like, today might be the day. 3-7-1 through 11 games. They've played more games than almost anybody in the East, and yet they have the least amount of points. I'm not a mathematician here, but that ain't a great formula. Most games, least points. This is a disaster. They've lost 6 in a row. And basically, you know, without getting into intricate X's and O's and schemes and all that crap, they don't do what he wants them to do anymore. There may be many reasons for that. The roster that Kyle Dubas has built may be at odds with how Sully wants to play the game. But when you have a situation where your coach is constantly and for years now talking about puck management and you display so much puck mismanagement, and he talks about constructing a team that's hard to play against and they're easy to play against, and he talks about a team that wants to be really good defensively and they're horrific defensively, then at some point, don't you have to say, regardless of the many reasons for this, this team never does what the coach wants them to do? Fire the coach?
Yeah, and I mean, think about, we challenged the goaltender so much on this team, right? Like, whether it be Tristan Jarry, who has gotten a lot of garbage this season,
so
and rightfully so, the play in front of them, Joe, has not been good. Like, they have not played well in front of their goalies. They're giving up. I saw a number, I think, during the losing streak or before this game, they had given up 4 or more goals in 6 games in a row. Like, sure, a lot of that is on your goaltending, but the play in front of it has to be significantly better so you're not putting your goalies on an island either.
Well, now they have games coming up against Anaheim and Montreal. And while that may be a good thing, you would think, because Anaheim is a very middling team, and Montreal right now is, what are they, 4-5? I mean, they haven't been good for a while, right? So you have 2 home games against 2, I'll say, bad teams. Well, that could be a get right. What if they lose both of those? If they lose both of those games, let me ask you this question. Would you be shocked if the day after, let's see, November 3rd or so, they announced that Sullivan is fired? I couldn't be shocked, even in this environment where Fenway Sports Group considers him to be a Bill Belichick-like figure. Even though it's a coach-centric organization, and even though, as you mentioned, his 3-year contract extension is just kicking in now. Like, he basically has 3 years left on his deal, 2 full seasons after this. I can't say I would be shocked. I just couldn't be. At 3-9-1, given what's happened the last couple of years when they've underachieved, not made the playoffs, to start like that and to lose 8 games in a row and be the worst team in hockey. Like I said, in other markets, it would be a foregone conclusion that he was gone. I would say I would still be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked if that news that day was that the Penguins have moved on from Mike Sullivan. I can't believe that he would be either.
Yeah, that's the caveat I'd put on it. I would be just a little surprised, not shocked at all, just because of the power that Mike Sullivan has with the Penguins. It doesn't rival Mike Tomlin's power with the Steelers, but I think it's pretty close. Like, Tristan Jarry was his guy. Erik Karlsson making that move, I'm sure Mike Sullivan had a significant amount of input on that. And I think the money, the financial constraints on it, if it was another organization, maybe it's more desperate to change. But it seems like the Penguins are just kind of okay being stuck in the middle, not pushing all of their chips.
They're not stuck in the middle. They're at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, but in terms of the last 2 years being a point or two or a game away from making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. That's the definition of being in the mushy middle and the middle of purgatory. But now the bottom has fallen out. I think they're going to get Sullivan a little bit longer, maybe till the end of the year, and then they'd fire him.
Worst goals against average in all of hockey. Man, is that something to look at? Just to see it on a computer screen here. 11 games played, they're 32nd in goals against at 4.27. Now, the other way to look at this, as I mentioned earlier, is you're in the last place you want to be, but you might be in the place you're going to eventually be anyway, and it might be the first place you want to be, which is down at the bottom of the league. So now that you're there anyway, you know, it'll be like, I don't know, showing up at somebody's house and staying for a while. And now that you're here, you might as well stay. You want to pay rent? Like, now that you're down at the bottom of the league, should the Penguins just try to augment that? Fast track whatever process they're in here.
I don't think that would be a problem. Say, I wonder if that conversation would be had, though, with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, or if any of those guys would go to management or Sullivan and talk about it, though, and have a discussion.
I don't know, but my point is you're there. You're there now. So would it be the worst thing in the world to start making moves to try to stay there? That's just a question. We'll deal with that tomorrow. We'll deal with a lot of football tomorrow. You're a wonderful man. Thanks to everybody here at Studio B. The quarterback thing from the other day where they protected the quarterback was the Chargers, just for everybody's interest. Good night, Limits.
Good night, Joe.